This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
I'd like to put a picture in your mind, if you will, of a man who is going about his life, and he's a poor man, and then he receives a letter that a relative of his passed away without any line, without any children, and that the inheritance is going to be his. And he finds out that the only asset that this relative had was a plot of land, farmland. And so he goes and he looks at the farmland, and it's about 40 acres, a meager parcel. But he's glad. He's glad for the inheritance. He's glad for the blessing. After the closing process, when everything is done, the lawyer goes to the man and says, "This letter is from your relative who's passed away, and they requested that you receive this letter the day that you received the inheritance." And so this man took the letter and he opened it up and he read it, and it said, "This land that you are receiving has unspeakable value." Unspeakable value. And so the man, not understanding what that means, he takes the land and he goes about farming it, tilling it and cultivating it, planting his crops, harvesting his crops, and he receives the value from the land. But one day he notices that there's this large boulder in one of the fields. While he's trying to plow through, he hits it, and so he has to get rid of it, and he gets a backhoe in there to remove this large rock, and he digs it away, and he takes the rock out, and underneath the rock he sees glittering, shining rocks. And he digs around, and he finds under that large rock are diamonds. And he goes to another spot and he digs down about 6 feet and he sees those glittering rocks, diamonds. Everywhere he digs in that land, about 6 feet underneath, are diamonds. And he realizes what the note meant from his relative. But he realized that he had the wrong idea, or at least he had part of the idea. He didn't have the full idea. You see, he knew there was value in the dirt. But then he realized that the value was also in the diamonds. There's value in the dirt. There's also value in the diamonds. The words of Jesus Christ often have a deeper value. Jesus Christ's words are valuable, but there's often a deeper value. There's often a surface meaning. And underneath that surface meaning, there's a deeper meaning. And if you want, and if I want my life to have unspeakable value, victory over sin, fellowship with the Father, fruit of the Spirit, then you and I can learn. Don't settle with just the dirt. Dig for the diamonds. There is a resurrection, and there is a deeper resurrection. Let's look at the resurrection. We'll call it the dirt. The value of the surface resurrection. We're in John chapter 11. Jesus, when he walked this earth, as you know, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God who has come into this world to bring this world to God. Jesus Christ walked this earth and he had friends, just like you have friends and I have friends. And three of his friends were Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Lazarus was dying and Jesus knew it. And he had a plan to show the glory of God through Lazarus' death. And many of you know that Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days and Jesus came and he spoke a word and Lazarus came forth. And during that intermediate period, when Jesus goes to visit the sisters of the deceased friend, Lazarus, they're rather perplexed because they knew Jesus had power to heal their brother. They knew that Jesus was able to heal. He's done it all around. He healed the blind, the sick, the lame. Easily he could have healed his own friend, but he didn't in the way they thought. And if you want to follow along in verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. And many of the Jews, verse 19, had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But she submits to him, knowing that Christ is good. He knows what he's doing. He loves her. He trusts her. So he says, "I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you," in verse 22. Do we, in the midst of our pain and suffering and struggles, do we have a spirit that can yet trust him? Yet trust him. But Jesus says something interesting to her. He says, verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Okay, Lazarus is dead. Many of us have to deal with death often, whether it be a family member, a friend we know, a co-worker, whether it be a fellow human, whether it be an animal. In the world around us, we often have to deal with this issue of death. But Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." Death is not the end, Martha. And now Martha said to him, verse 24, "I know, Jesus, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." That was the surface meaning of the resurrection. There's the plot of land. There's the soil. There's the dirt. This is the surface resurrection. The Bible teaches that those who have put their faith and trust and hope in Jesus Christ will be raised at the last day and given a new body and will reign with Christ forever and ever. And there's value in that. There is unspeakable value in that. What can we learn from the value of the surface resurrection? We can learn, first off, that you can have joy that your Savior rose from the grave. You can have joy that your Savior rose from the grave. Because Jesus, as we are celebrating here this morning, rose from the grave. Death could not hold him. The tomb could not enclose him. He, 3 days and three nights in the tomb, came out by the power and miracle of God. This is not some myth. This is not some story that just gives us comfort. This is reality. Jesus Christ literally rose from the grave. Historically, rose from the grave. By the power of God, he's alive today. I don't say that to just articulate religious jargon. Jesus Christ is alive today. And he's at the right hand of the Father. He has sent the Holy Spirit. We can have joy that Jesus rose from the grave. There are many Buddhists out there, but Buddha is not alive today. There are many Muslims out there, but Muhammad is not alive today. There are many Hindus out there, but Krishna is not alive today. Christianity gives us the hope that we have a living Savior. And this is something we have value in. When you pray, do you recognize, do you realize that Jesus is alive, listening? When we're gathered here in worship, do we acknowledge and recognize that Christ, he hears and he sees? And he says, when two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. When you're going through the dark night of the soul, do you know that he is there, ready to comfort? You can have joy that Jesus rose from the grave. Second thing that you can find in the value of the surface resurrection is that you can have hope that you will rise from the grave. If you acknowledge that you are a sinner and you recognize that you have offended God, but you realize that he loves you and that he sent Christ to die for your sins, something you cannot earn, it's a gift, and you receive it as a gift, God gives you the promise that after this life is over, you will rise from the grave into everlasting life, given a new body, given new hope. And that's what Martha is recognizing. She says to Jesus, I know Lazarus will rise again at the end. She has hope in that. It's true. Death for a believer of Jesus Christ is only a transition. We don't need to fear death if we have Christ as our Lord and Savior. Stories told of this little girl, these two little girls who are walking home and it's getting dark out, and as they're walking down the street, there's a cemetery off to the side. And the one little girl says to the other, my house is over there. Let's cross through the cemetery. And the other little girl says, aren't you afraid walking through the cemetery? And she turns to her friend and she says, no, my home is only on the other side. And that's true for us as Christians. When we think of our death that will come unless the Lord returns, we can think of it that we don't need to fear. Our home is on the other side. I don't know what happened. Last night, I had some very terrible nightmares. Very terrible nightmares. And sometimes you have these dreams, you can't control them, and it's not like you were thinking about things beforehand, it's just random. I don't understand the spiritual implications of it, but I had pretty bad dreams. In the nightmare, without going into gruesome detail, I was surrounded by demonic killers just wanting to bring death everywhere around me. And there was nothing I could do to stop it. And I was so afraid. I was so unbelievably afraid. And I think all of you can admit that sometimes in your dreams, it's hard to walk by faith and not by sight. And I was scared. I was scared. Nothing I could do. Running for my life. But then I woke up. And that hazy period of dream world to reality started to happen. And then I realized it was a dream. And I thought to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't need to fear death. What do I need to be afraid of? I thank you, Lord, that I have hope of eternal life. Oh, at the at the Passover meal that we had, we were in a conversation, the people around me, about heaven. Just talking about heaven just brings joy to your heart. And you think about, we'll have a new body. We won't have to feel any more pain or suffering in our bodies. We'll be reunited with our loved ones who have trusted in Christ and are there and will welcome us. It will be a glorious reunion. We'll see our Lord, whom we've believed in all these years. We'll be free from sin and temptation. Isn't that glorious? Imagine being perfected 100%. All these promises are true if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All these promises are true. This is the resurrection of which Martha spoke. But then Jesus says to Martha, dig a little deeper. There's a deeper resurrection. Martha says, I know that Lazarus will rise again at the end. And he looks at her in verse 25 and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha says, I know that he will rise again. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, it's not just something down the road, but someone right here. I am the resurrection. Jesus says, connection to me is connection to the resurrection. Dig a little deeper, Martha. You don't have to just look down the road for a future resurrection. You don't have to just settle for the dirt. Look right here. Resurrection life, now. Dig for diamonds, Martha. There's a deeper resurrection. What are these diamonds? What's the value of the deeper resurrection? First, Jesus wants you to live the resurrection life now. Jesus Christ wants you to live the resurrection life now. Look what he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Did you catch that? He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. He's referring to the resurrection, right? Unless the Lord returns, you're going to die. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to live. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That doesn't make sense. Jesus, though he may die, unless I return, if I don't return, he will die. If you believe in me, you'll never die. Did you catch that? You see, there's the surface resurrection and the blessing of being united with Christ and the hope that when death happens, we'll live again. But then there's this resurrection deeper that Jesus says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never, 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 never die. Jesus Christ wants you, as a believer, to live the resurrection life now. There's a life that God wants you to live now. If you want to see this in Romans chapter 6, you can see exactly what is meant by this deeper resurrection, by this blessing of a resurrection life that you can have now. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by His power, by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life." You see that? He's saying, we were buried with Him in baptism, symbolically. We are raised. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Even so, we should walk now in newness of life. So not only is there a life that we gain at the end, there's a newness of life that we can live now. So not only do we have to settle for the soil, the surface, we can dig deeper for the diamonds. Our faith is not something about that's going to happen down the road. Our faith is something that's going to happen now. Salvation is not just, oh, you will get into heaven, you will receive a resurrection at the end. Salvation is you can have eternal life now. Salvation is not just one day you will have a glorious transformation. The Bible says, be transformed in the renewing of your mind now, so that you can experience a changed, new, transformed, resurrected life now. And you don't have to wait until tomorrow. I don't have to wait until tomorrow. I could say, Jesus Christ, can you live through me now? And He will come and He will live through you now. And I wonder how many in the church, and I think this of myself, how many in the church will one day be welcomed into heaven, the resurrection, and will look back and say, oh Lord, I had all that time to live the resurrected life, and I didn't. Jesus says, dig a little deeper. Jesus wants you to live the resurrected life now. Secondly, this deeper resurrection comes from His life in us. This deeper resurrection comes from His life in us. Remember what Jesus said to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Union with Christ is the source of our resurrected life. If you're still in Romans, you can see that. In verse 5, if we have been united together with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're united in His death. That is, the body of death and sin is done away with. But then His life comes in and through us to give us resurrected life. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me. You cannot do anything of your own. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. When you're going through this Christian life, when you're struggling with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the temptations that come your way, Christ says, I will give you life. That you can have a newness of life. That you can have power from Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit to overcome, to press forward, to persevere in Him. Christians are united with Christ in an inseparable way. And we end up becoming the temple where He dwells. This is something you can have, know, and understand and grow in here and now. That I can have now. There's this hymn, Christ Liveth in Me. I'm thinking about having it sung at my funeral. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's word, the light I found. Now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth from me. As rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free. So life and light and love come forth from Christ living in me. With longing, all my heart is filled that like him I may be. As on the wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me. Have you, have I comprehended the wondrous thought that Christ lives in us? That his life can come through us? The third thing we learn from this deeper resurrection is that it gives us power. It gives us power. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Why does Jesus give us the resurrected life now? So that he can give life to us. So that when we walk this world and other people are looking at our lives, they see Christ. So when I am going about my daily life, people look at me and they see Jesus. Not because I'm trying to be like Jesus, but because he is living through me. Have you considered that as a Christian, people are watching you? They may not even say it, but they're looking. The word Christian means, in a sense, a little Christ. They see your title, Christian, and they're thinking this is association with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you believe in me and trust in me, I will live through you so that when people see you, they see me. And when people are drawn to me, they can receive me as Lord and Savior, and they can receive the life in them. This is the promise that we can have now. Why do I settle? Why do I settle for dirt? There's value in the land. But if I'm told that there are diamonds, why don't I dig deeper? How many are just settling for the surface? How many are just happy to be saved? Happy to receive a resurrection at the end? When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you'll never die. You will have life now, and it will carry on in your spirit. We can live for God now. This is a faith that we can have now and live with now and experience now and rejoice in now. This is not just something that down the road it'll affect us someday. That's one of the key reasons, and I've shared this with you, why I came to know Christ is because people invited me into their lives, and when I looked at them, there was something different. There was a life there I didn't have. And I realized that there was something behind what I was watching. It was Jesus Christ. So the fourth thing that we can learn to wrap everything up here is how do I live the resurrected life. How do I live the resurrected life? Jesus said, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you must believe in Him. Not try to work and earn your way. Trust in Him alone. His salvation is a gift to you. You trust in Him. You turn from that dead life. You turn to Christ in complete openness, complete reliance on nothing but on Him. And after you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you believe in Him to receive the fullness of the resurrected life. That you can have the life of Jesus in you now. "I am the resurrection and the life," He said to Martha. "He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? We don't have to settle for the dirt. We can dig for the diamonds. I read something recently that I wanted to share with you. And it's a little bit, it's of a personal nature, not in my personal life, but many of you know I'm from Rhode Island. And the founder of Rhode Island, his name is Roger Williams. He was an advocate for religious freedom. I believe he was the one who founded the first Baptist church in America. It's there in Rhode Island. He was a founder for religious freedom, and he was persecuted because of the state church. Well, he died and was buried in a random plot of ground with a very meager tombstone. And there's a story I read that hundreds of years later, after realizing what this man had done for the cause of Christ, that people wanted to dig up his remains and give him a proper burial, a burial of honor. And they discovered, when they went to the place where it was said that he was buried, that an apple tree had grown next to the grave. And as they dug down on the ground, they saw the fragments of the remains that were there, but right in the spot where he had laid was a root of the apple tree. And the shape of the root was where it came down where his head was and grew down his body, split where his legs were, bent at the knees, curled at the feet. And when they dug up, they realized that the root of the apple tree had went into that corpse and moved throughout it. And people thought about this, and they took the root out, and you could see it in a historical society house there. They took the root out, and they thought about this concept that Roger Williams, his remains were there, but it was almost as if his life was being drawn into the apple tree, giving life to all who partook of the fruit. When Jesus Christ says, "I am the resurrection," you today can receive Him. And this life that you live now will die. This moment, this life will die. But then Jesus Christ will come inside of you. And all of a sudden, He will live through you. And you can bear fruit to the world around you. And people will see His life. That's the deeper resurrection. And that's a resurrection you can have now. Father God in heaven, I thank You so much for Jesus. He gives us an inheritance. He gives us a plot of ground. He gives us hope. But He gives us unspeakable value. Lord, I pray that if somebody here is convicted, they don't have any resurrection hope. They don't have any assurance that when they close their eyes to this life, they'll open them anew. Would you speak to them, Lord, now in the quietness of their hearts and say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Lord, would they receive you? Would they open up their hearts to you? That you want to come and give them life. Would they see that you died for their sins on the cross? Would they see that they cannot earn, they can't go to church enough or read the Bible enough to earn their way to heaven? Lord, they need you. Lord, would they receive you and say, Lord, I need you. I am a sinner. Please come. And I pray, Father God, for those of us who have received you, you speak to our hearts now and you say, I am the resurrection and the life. Maybe somebody here is struggling with a very difficult sin that they cannot break. Would you say to them, I am the resurrection and the life? Maybe there's somebody here who feels that their life is not quite living for the Lord. They read in the Bible of this life and they don't have it. They don't see it in their daily life. Lord, would you speak to them and say, I am the resurrection and the life. For all of us here, Lord, with all of our difficulties, all of our struggles, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Tell us you are the resurrection and the life. He who believes in you, though we may die, we shall live, and whoever lives and believes in you shall never die. Lord, may we believe this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.